I'm back. Yeah. 3 pounds lighter. Don't need to go into it.
Not now. Jacob, happy to see me?
Well, yeah, to the extent that I can see you, yes.
Yeah, that's fine. She's coming in. Don't even need to open the door for her. She just comes flying in through the HVAC system, desperate for any work she can find on a Friday. This has become a regular thing. Is anybody suspicious of Tom's Fridays? I mean, how many times does he have to bury his grandmother? Tom himself is 68 years old. Come on. Jacob, why do you keep
it is starting
that
to raise
excuse?
More questions. I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, what is this? It's the longest burial system. I'm sorry. Proper welcome to Sherry. Sherry, hello.
Well, hello there, John. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. I will explain my absence and I'll do the math for you. And by the way, it will also be an answer. So listen carefully, even if you're completely repulsed, because it will be a question during the know-it-all quiz coming up in just a little bit. And Jacob, what kind of prizes will they be playing for this week?
Once again, I believe it is a Kyra Radio prize pack.
Let that settle in. What kind of mood is Aaron in? Look at his face. Does he seem happy, sad? Where is he right now on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like a clown at a fourth grader's birthday party?
He painted on the happy face as soon as he started asking some questions, John, but I didn't get a chance to see it before.
I'm happy.
Yeah, wow. No,
you're not here yet. Sad sack. Sad sack, Aaron. Hang on.
Turn on your heart light.
You hit the big time, Aaron, by being on our show now from 3 to 7. And we appreciate you as our anchor. Heather is now doing G and Ursula, and now you are on with us and bringing us the news. Now you get a chance to play the part of Hannah, where I basically ask you a question and scream at you for 4 minutes. So,
can't wait.
Why don't you just... The news from the governor is that he... Look out, everybody. Possibly could be rolling things back.
John, I think you should actually be happy about this update from the governor because I listened to the show and I know you have been advocating for why are we rolling back at all? Why is the threat of rolling back happening if only cases are rising? Shouldn't we tie it more to deaths and hospitalizations in that matter?
Yes,
seems as if the governor is doing just that. So yesterday he sort of primed us. He was saying if you are a county that has 200 cases per 100,000 over the last 2 weeks or above that, you're going to roll back to phase two. Now he's saying you have to actually meet both. You have to fail two metrics to roll back. So not only cases, but also hospitalizations. So five or more if you're a large county. And then in addition to the case counts, if you meet both of those metrics, you roll back. So under those guidelines, a handful of counties are now, well, actually more than a handful, many more counties are actually safe. They will likely stay in phase three when the state evaluates the case numbers come Monday. So places like King and Snohomish, they seem like they're going to be okay because they don't even reach the threshold for cases or hospitalizations in that case.
So why the change? Because before he said it was either going to be cases or hospitalizations and no change to these metrics. And now what science is he pulling out of thin air for this one?
Here, I'll give you the quote from the governor's news release today. He says, given the incredible progress on vaccinations and our focus protecting people from severe illness, we believe analyzing and requiring both metrics together is the right approach. So that's might just be a judgment call on his part. He doesn't link it back to science necessarily, but I think we can all agree, and I think we can agree with you, John, that hospitalizations
are important
when we are considering whether we should roll back or not. Because when you look back at the what's happening right now is our numbers are about where they were last fall. Right. So that was a pretty bad peak, or last summer, I should say. That was a pretty bad peak. They're not as bad as they once were. They are significantly lower than what they were in January. I'm talking like, 20-30% of what they were in January. And that's obviously because the most vulnerable are now vaccinated for the most part. But that's not to say there are many more people at risk. The governor mentioned yesterday that something like 300,000 seniors still have not been vaccinated. And so there are still people who are
completely. Is he saying completely vaccinated? Is he talking about one shot? Or when he says vaccinated, he means both
fully
shots,
vaccinated,
right?
Correct. 300,000
Okay, fully
seniors.
Vaccinated.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay, fine. All right.
So I have a question for you, Aaron.
Yeah.
So he also said we've let our guard down to some degree. Is he referring to mask wearing or not having enough robust vaccinations? Or what does he really mean by that? Do you have any idea?
Well, he certainly did say a lot of it was due to sort of, you know, people, yes, not being as safe as they once were when things were tighter. We know 3 weeks ago he moved the entire state into phase three. And, you know, there are a lot of people in some more of the rural areas, parts of eastern Washington that maybe aren't as willing to get the vaccine also, and just have all along really not taking it as serious as some other counties in western Washington. We also know that there are just more contagious variants spreading too. So it's not just that people are letting their guard down. It's a combination of things too. Because we know that, I think it's the UK, the variant that originated in the UK is now the dominant strain in the country, and that one has proven to be more contagious than the others that were circulating in the fall and summer.
I'm going to ask you not to use UK, because obviously when you start to identify where the virus is coming from, then people will go around beating up people from the UK.
That's why I clarified, John, that it was the variant originated in the UK.
Okay. But again, you know, it doesn't take much for white supremacists to punch somebody from England in the teeth and do even more damage prior to the punch. I say this, that to me, I always said that when he first started this thing last March, it was about not overwhelming our infrastructure, sure, which is our hospitals. Mm-hmm. And then they kept moving it and moving the goalpost, because cases don't amount to really much of anything. It's only when you start to get into the ICU, where if all of a sudden there was a horrible accident that you needed 50 ICU beds and they're all being taken by COVID, people that either have COVID or symptoms with COVID. So then, therefore, that's why it's important for the government to step in and to do something. And the governor, keeps referring to the fact that, you know, distancing and masking up. But it's interesting if you look, and I know it's really hard to do these things because each one of these variations between, you know, population and age and weather. But let's look at Texas, because it's been 1 month now since Neanderthal thinking and the death warrants that were going to be signed by Governor Abbott. And look, whoa, lo and behold, the cases are down by a third there. They're up by 100% in Michigan, where they're still wearing masks. They're still social distancing and doing all the stuff that their governor has been telling them to do. And same thing in New York. Cases are up in New York, cases up in Pennsylvania, cases up in New Jersey. But all those places are doing all the stuff that they were, quote unquote, supposed to do. And the Neanderthal in Texas is actually seeing cases drop by a third. So there's a whole bunch of people with different, you know, speculations as to why this is, but there's Governor Abbott actually with lower cases. And again, there's so many variables in this thing that it's hard to just go straight apples to apples comparison. But the governor warning everybody to go ahead and, you know, get the vaccine, do it because it's really, really necessary to do it. And then constantly threatening us and speaking to us like children that we're not keeping our guard up. So at this point, is he making another announcement on Monday, or this is it? Are we clear as we head in towards the weekend?
Well, here's what's interesting. I'll tell you about Pierce County, which I think a lot of people are keeping their eye on. Because here's the interesting note we just got from Pierce County Health today. They're saying that their data shows that the 2 week rolling average there is below 200, right at about 198 per 100,000. So the threshold to move back for Pierce County is 200. The state data, though, that the state is taking into account, it shows that Pierce has already passed 200. It's at 241, according to the state data. The county is saying, well, you're not taking into account the six-day lag, and also you're also including probable cases, where our cases are more accurate. We actually don't know what's going to happen with Pierce County. That's something we'll be having to keep an eye on Monday. And that's when we will find out, because Monday marks the three-week evaluation period that the governor set. So if any county rolls back on Monday, they will stay in phase two for the next 3 weeks, because the state will reevaluate the cases every 3 weeks. And right now, I'm just looking at a rundown of some of the counties that are in the trouble zone, if you will. So Adams, Sutton County, Cowlitz, Douglas, Ponderay, Pierce is on there, and Yakima counties. They're all in that red zone, if you will. So they are all, if the numbers hold where they are right now into Monday, they would roll back to phase two if the governor keeps his word.
There are a couple of different tests that you can get for COVID. Is there consistency across the board when it comes to the state? Does the state recognize the PCR or whatever that one is, or do they go the other one, or is it just all tests and they'll take all results regardless of which test it is?
That's a good question, Don. I'm not 100% on that. I believe the state just...
Sherry, why don't you take that one, Sherry, and prove to Aaron how smart you are.
Okay.
No.
Yes, they're taking all the test results.
Yeah, she just said that. She doesn't know that, yeah. Aaron. Don't let her.
I would think that the state just probably compiles data from each individual county's public health agency. So that's what I would think.
Yeah, there's three basic tests that you can get for the thing. All right, well, I still think the governor is full of it. I think these numbers, he flips these things back and forth for different reasons to scare everybody. And by the way, whoever put the sign up on I-90, even if you've got vaccinated, mask up. I don't want to have to take my hands off the wheel in the 3 and 9 position to flip that off, but I do because it feels necessary.
If I may,
and
John,
I did it today, and the guy to the right of me looked at me and gave me the smile. We're in the club, you know. We're in the club, which is okay. I got the vaccination. I did the whole thing, and I still have to wear my mask. Really, giant reader board on I-90.
If I may, John,
really?
I think
yes,
we all know a lot. I mean, yes, the governor is making these decisions himself, but all along he has also said that he's going to do his guidance based off of the guidance from public health. And these are metrics that I think a lot of the public health doctors are advising. So right now we have in King County, you know, about 25% of all people are vaccinated in King County. That's great. And, you know, yes, we also hear from the public health doctor here, Dr. Jeff Duchin, saying cases are rising. They have been up. Last week he mentioned it was something like a 30% week-to-week rise. So the concern right now is exponential growth. And we're hoping that we don't that the vaccinations, the vaccine rates, can outpace exponential growth. And right now we're sort of at that tipping point, if you will.
All right. Okay. Sure. Any more questions for Aaron before we let him just stand there and listen to the rest of the show?
No, I think you did a good job at yelling at him. So I think it's fine.
No.
Nice job, Aaron. Nice job, John.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I would say that I know the people that are in the health department, these are the belt and suspenders people. These are the people that are advising you. They're very, very cautious individuals. You don't have a job like that if you're not guy that's always crossing T's, dotting I's, raising their hands. These are the people, folks, I want you to know, that were sitting in the front row of every single class from kindergarten on to high school. And they were always the ones on a Friday that would remind the teacher before the class, excuse me, Mr. Ferguson, didn't you say you were going to give us a test today before the weekend? Those are the people. Those are the people that are telling you, you know, even though you've had the vaccine, don't forget to mask up and have 6 feet distance. These are the people that are least popular at parties, but they're the ones that are telling you exactly what to do.
A history of annoyance, no matter what they're doing now. They have a history of that.
Take Aaron out. Turn on your heart light. Turn on that heart light, Aaron.
We'll do it.
A weird lyric. Turn on your heart light in the middle of a young boy's dream. That's hello.
Right.
That's not you, Aaron. That is no judgment on you and some coming in the middle of some young boy's dream. That's not who you are. All right.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's a big relief for you.
Yeah.
By the way, big announcement. I talked to my doctor today, and she said get the vaccine. So I'm going to get the vaccine.
Good job. Really, that is a big announcement.
Thank you. Thank you.
I said, congratulations.
Do I have to get it? She goes, get it because it's just smart. Just get it, you know? I said, which one? She goes, doesn't matter. All three of them, they're fine. So I'm fine. And you know, so I'm going to sign up and drive to Yakima.
I think that's great, John. I don't think you'll regret it. I think you'll feel better, even though it's not something that you've wanted to do. I think once you do it, you'll be glad you did.
Oh, let me tell you, my plan was, if I didn't get the vaccine, I was just going to get ill and then take video and send it to Jacob. After yesterday's bout of what I don't know what that was, it wasn't COVID, but the distance between the bed and distress, which is 40 yards away or 70 yards away, depending on which one of the fine facilities I'd like to run to here, it's as inconvenient as being sick to your stomach on a Greyhound bus that doesn't have a bathroom. You ever done that? Mm. I traveled from Missouri once all the way to Philadelphia on a Greyhound bus that had no bathroom. And the driver's like, all right, folks, we're stopping off here. Next stop, 12 hours. And it's like, 12 hours?
And but you didn't have any. You didn't have any distress like you had yesterday on the bus.
No.
Okay, good.
Close. But just okay. The worry of it all.
All right. Knowing that you can't makes you want to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's terrible. Absolutely.
Do I walk up to the front of the bus driver and go quietly, hey, just want to let you know that if I give you the high sign, can we just pull over for like 5 minutes just to... Can I get that from you? And I tried to be really kind of friendly with him. He's like, nope, sorry, policy is 12 more hours.
Oh, my God.
No. That's awful.
I know. And he whistled and hummed like Tom, songs that weren't quite songs. All right. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us on a Friday. Neil Mortgage. Yes. For those mortgage rates being historically low, you've got to get in touch with Keel Mortgage, Laura Keel. And everybody there wants to help you with your mortgage or refinancing. That's the way to go. 1-888-778-KIEL, Keo Mortgage. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well. Come on in through the State Roofing text line at 98973. The phones are a little funky, according to Jacob today, so we're going to take text messages in order to play the know-it-all quiz. Text Jacob. If you'd like to play the quiz, put something somewhat interesting about yourself in there. Low bar for that. And we'll maybe you find yourself on their air. You text us as well at 98973. Okay, all of that. Again, Sherry, thank you very much for stepping in. I can always tell when Sherry has been sort of whispering in Jacob's ear with, oh, here's a story. Oh, here's another one. And they all fall under the category of sexually frustrated woman living in Northern Virginia. Every single one of these stories throughout the next 3 hours is like, That's sort of titillating. I think we should talk about that. I'm sure you need to see a doctor. Here's one right here. Love contracts that make requirements on sex and weight and cheating are increasingly common now, according to experts named Sherry.
Right.
And this has got your fingerprints all over it, right?
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. So,
okay.
Everybody knows what a prenup is, right? A prenup is generally about finances. So you kind of settle, you know, in the beginning, this is going to be mine. If we divorce, this is going to be yours. Everybody gets along. This is called something called a love contract or a lifestyle clause is what they're calling this. And this is everything from infidelity to weight requirements to the frequency of sex. These are all things that you can put into these love contracts, not only if you get married, but even if you're cohabitating. So according to these experts, this is becoming more and more common. And what I found interesting about this was there are so many celebrities that have these contracts. For instance, Catherine Zeta-Jones gets $5 million plus $2.8 million per year if she and if Michael Douglas cheats on her because he's a known sex addict.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's a lot of money.
$5 million. That is a lot. Now, is it per infidelity, or is it just could he batch them up and then pay the $5 million?
No, it's one infidelity, and then she gets a $5 million bonus. And if they get divorced because of that, then she gets $2.8 million for every year they've been married.
Okay.
Pretty good haul. Right. I mean, not bad.
I know. I think the whole prenup thing and then writing that down there, the two people, it's just, it's so,
Oh, she sort of put it down there, and then he, and like signing up for a rental car at Dollar Rental. Okay, I just need your initials here, 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 and you just sign here saying $5 million if you cheat on her, right? So then what? Who else is in there? Is the woman from a Three's Company that apparently has sex with her husband like 4 times a day, the one with the thigh master, is she, do they have her list in there?
No, Suzanne Summers. No, no, but yes. Keith Urban, okay. If he uses drugs, then he gets nothing from Nicole Kidman. Nothing. Apparently, she's got a lot more money than he does because that's part of their thing. And I thought this one was weird. Priscilla Chan, who's married to Mark Zuckerberg, she requires in her love contract one night a week that he has to give her plus 100 hours of quality time every week. Because he's so busy.
Wait.
He's such an important man.
She gets 100 hours of him a week?
Quality time, yes. That's what she wants.
Okay. Okay.
Would you want 100 hours of quality time with Mark Zuckerberg? I think not.
What is quality time?
There you go.
I won't tell you who it is because I don't want to get... Can we get slandered and libeled? Don't we need to have at least 50 listeners for something like that, Jacob? What's the rule on that?
I don't know. I don't think it matters how many people. Yeah.
A friend of mine used to fly seaplanes, had two very rich people in the plane, and they were flying along, and as they're flying here around the Northwest, and I mean very, very rich people, like super duper rich people, if you can imagine who that might be. And my friend thought that there was an engine fire because the smell of sulfur burning wires. And so it's an old plane, it's a de Havilland Beaver, and he's smelling underneath the control panel. He's like leaning in towards the thing while they're flying, and the plane's going along, and he's trying to figure out what it is. And then he realizes, oh, I see. It's coming from the mouth of the man sitting behind me. The breath was so bad that then he had to open the door while flying at 3,000 feet and put his foot in the door to open the door to air out the plane. And all he kept thinking was... Yes, and then he looked back, and the man with the halitosis, his wife, is leaning in closely to listen to him, so she must be less than 6 inches from the offensive odor, so bad that it smelled like an engine fire on a de Havilland Beaver seaplane. So, and I kept thinking, now you should put that in a prenup of some sort, that, you know.
Yeah.
Bad breath, there's an extra $50 million or something like that. Is there anything in there? Because I've known people that have made contracts, I don't think they've written it down, where they want to have nookie every single day.
Yeah, there are people out there. There's not the halitosis clause. I haven't seen that yet. But okay. Sure, people are, the one guy said that he would keep his weight down, and if he didn't keep his weight down and couldn't fulfill his wife's sexual needs, then she was allowed to have sex with anybody that she wanted to. That was one of the examples. That's how dedicated he was to his fitness program. He's like, I am so convinced that I'm going to keep my weight down that if I don't and I can't fulfill you, have at it.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is love. This just is.
I know. Isn't it romantic?
And that's got to be your second story, is that now that COVID is over or lockdowns have started to loosen up a little bit, apparently men and women are looking for really beautiful one-night stands again now that they've been able to have the mask taken away and they could go back out to the bars, wherever else they're going to go. And one other little story that we didn't get to last week was the fact that lesbian bars have now completely gone away. And did you see that story? And when the science behind it is that... apps have stopped people from going to bars to pick up one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
That has closed down sort of singles bars because nobody goes to, you know, sit at the bar, hey, can I buy you a drink? You know, they now go to meet somebody and leave the bar. They said lesbians tended to not congregate bars the same way men did. Gay bars, the old joke is, what's a lesbian take on a second date? You know what the answer is?
No.
A U-Haul. And then the joke about gay men was, what does a gay man take on a second date? The punchline is, what second date? So the...
these are not stereotypes at all, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. Jokes are based upon stereotypes, right?
Okay. Go ahead.
That's it. Those are the two. That's all you get. So the idea is that they said, where have all the lesbian bars gone? They said, well, they've gone because that wasn't part of the social style of how lesbians wanted to meet, how they wanted to have relationships. So most of the bars that were out there at some point have all sort of gone away. And they thought that COVID was the thing that also just finished off all of them. So, anyway.
Well, this article says that they're predicting a wave of debauchery. That was what it said. So that's okay. Who knows what's going to happen.
Now, if that one husband gains 7 or 8 pounds, puts on some love handles, look out. That wife is going to be all over the place.
That's not true. Come on.
Hey, whoa there, Miss Tracy Taylor. I wrote to Sean as soon as Sherry launched into this story. I thought, let's get Tracy on. I wanted to listen to her to have somebody that might have a more sort of balanced libido, but I don't know if you had heard the whole segment. So
I heard enough to where everything is good in our household, and my husband actually lost weight where I gained weight during this whole thing. So, and he still thinks so I'm beautiful and sexy. So
we all do.
Nice, but good.
We all do. That's not true. But okay, thank
you. Human resources. Go ahead.
He's all that matters, Tracy.
Right.
All righty, here we go. You're writing to us, and that's good and good for you. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend that you do write to the Tom and Curley Show. You write to us at MyNorthWest.com or come on in through that state roofing text line at 98973. A sad story for the people that knew and loved the man that had such high hopes when he went to the Grizzly game. Did you think that he would that would be his last baseball game plus his last taco? What do you think, Sherry?
I don't know. It's such a sad story. But he wanted to go out eating tacos, I think, because he went to a baseball game, a minor league baseball game, and decided to join a taco eating contest. And the rest is not good news.
He dies in 2019. The family sues the organizer of the event. Marshall Hutchins was 18 years old, and apparently that his father, Daniel Hutchins, 41, was not made aware. Oh, the 41-year-old Daniel Hutchins was not made aware of the risks and dangers involved of eating in the competition. I don't know what they needed to also tell him, but he choked on the tacos, so they were out. Must have been hard tacos, not soft shell tacos.
Right.
And how much do they want for the loss of their father? I guess
they haven't mentioned how much they want in terms of damages. But what they're saying is that everybody's seen these professional eating contests, right? You've seen the hot dog eating ones and all of that. Apparently, these professionals really train. They know the risks. They know how to do it. This is a complete amateur contest. So the guy, according to the son, they should have let the father know the risks involved of eating all these tacos, or at least that he could have choked on them. They're saying that he wasn't informed, not only that, but everybody was drinking, and it could have been even, I guess, more difficult to consume the tacos if he had been, impaired. So they're suing right now. They said they failed to inform him of the risks, and they're going to fight this lawsuit, I guess, but that's really sad. But I think all those eating contests are gross. I mean, I can't even watch them. I think they're really gross.
I could have grossed you out a couple of years ago for King 5. We used to do the New Year's or 4th of July celebration at Gasworks, and I needed to fill like 20 minutes after the fireworks. So I was always trying to come up with something to watch for the people, and I came up with a cherry pie eating contest, hands behind your back. I got 5 contestants, just got them out of that big crowd. They'd been out there since 10 in the morning in the sun drinking. They're all sunburned and completely dehydrated. And we lined them up there at 10:30 at night. They all agreed to eat it. And this guy is leaning forward. He has a sweatshirt on and he's eating the pie. And I've told the story before, but it certainly bears repeating. This is a warning for anybody out there. And while he's eating it, the 2 drawstrings that are on the hoodie of the sweatshirt fall in front of his raptor-like mouth that is consuming the pie, and he's swallowing it in huge gulps, and he actually ends up swallowing both of the drawstrings.
Oh, gross.
So he is eating his own sweatshirt, and as he's swallowing, he's like
And as he's swallowing, he's the drawstrings are growing tighter and tighter around his face.
That's so gross.
And nobody steps in to, like, just pull it out?
I was too busy saying to one of the cameramen, zoom in on the drawstrings. Because then at that point, he realized it wasn't like the pie had ropes
nuts
in it.
Or something.
He then realizes he has both of those in his throat, so he reaches and pulls them out. And as he pulls them out, it's like a fish going into a boat. He pulls everything out of all the contents of his stomach come out as well.
Oh, my God. That was live?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is just wrong. In every sense of the word. Turn on your heart light.
Turn on your heart light, everybody.
Congratulations.
Gosh.
I'm glad you got that contest going. Good for you.
Yeah, it's good. All right, everybody.
See food and eat it.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.